Former Oregon Congressman Lessa Coyne is not your typical member of Congress. He's been in meetings inside the Kremlin, helped a Jewish family escape the former Soviet Union, visited a nuclear bunker deep under a Colorado mountain, and tangled in the ring with a professional wrestler, a woman wrestler. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of JPR. I'm Mike Green. Today we're talking with Lessa Coyne about his 18-year career in Congress. Les is the author of Catch and Release, An Oregon Life in Politics. On September 27th, Pacific University, a Coyne's alma mater, is dedicating a building, the Les A. Coyne Hall, in honor of the congressman's career of public service. Welcome to the Exchange, Congressman.
Hi, Mike. It's good to be here.
Well, it's quite an honor to have your name live on the campus of Pacific University in perpetuity. How do you feel about it?
Well, thanks for that. I have to say my main feeling, Mike, is a sense of relief because obviously the Board of Trustees and the administration did not check my GPA average when I was in order to make this decision. So I escaped that one. No, really, this is a great honor, and I'm really humbled.
Well, your life has been quite a journey. How did this building dedication come about?
You'd have to ask the university for that, but I can remember when I worked at the university while I was also trying to get my working to get my bachelor's degree, and the building was constructed then to be a new library. When a new library was created several years ago, this was turned over to more general academic meetings, but it's right at the center of the campus and one of the busiest locations on campus. And for a whole bunch of reasons, the board decided to rename it. And they decided to rename it Les A. Coyne Hall. And I'm just incredibly grateful. My family is over the moon. So am I.
Well, it seems like generations of students will have your name come across their lips.
Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Absolutely. Congratulations. But Congressman,
thank you.
I want to dive into some of the extraordinary experiences you've had as an Oregon representative in Congress, but I'm curious.
You bet.
What do you think about what's happening in our politics today?
It's one of the most heartbreaking things I've seen in the public life, and I've been around for quite a long time. I can remember times when I'd be debating on the floor. For example, I was on the Defense Committee, and I was opposed to the MX missile and Star Wars. And we would debate it across the aisle. And I remember John Kasich, a very conservative Republican who ultimately ran for president, as you may recall.
Out of Ohio.
2016. Yeah, Ohio, and very conservative. And he was a member of the Armed Services Committee. I was a member of the Defense Appropriations Committee. He was for the MX. I was opposed to the MX. And we get on the floor, along, of course, a bunch of other people. But we get into floor and back and forth. He would debate and I would debate back. And then after we finished, he'd come over to my side of the aisle. And sometimes I pulled the reverse and went over his side of the aisle, sat down and said, Les, you're forgetting ABC, some factor of the debate. And I say, John, no, you're forgetting XYZ. And John would look at me and say, I'll get back to you tomorrow. And that would continue. And we were good friends. And that doesn't happen anymore. It's really heartbreaking because politics, you know, even then we had bomb throwers. But today, politics has turned into a competition between hate and hope. And they're not only just opponents, they're our enemies. And that is really very dangerous in a representative democracy.
A contest between hate and hope. And yep. You're saying in your day, there was respectful discourse and debate.
There was. I'll have to say there was also times when things went south and big time, went downhill. But the norm was respect. And and today we're not getting that so much. You're getting impugned motives. I understand that in some of the congressional dining rooms, Republicans and Democrats don't even want to go there anymore. They don't want to be seen in the same room. That's a far cry from where the way things were when I was there. And it's heartbreaking because at bottom, what this represents is a real strain and potential danger to a representative democracy. We have to be able to exchange points of view without impugning the motives of the other side.
I totally agree. I wonder if there's an atmosphere of disingenuousness. Today, we're all too familiar with politicians adamantly proclaiming their beliefs only to adamantly flip when the political winds shift. Tell me about your political viewpoint and how did your background shape the way you view society?
Well, you know, I came from pretty humble beginnings. I was the son of a single mom. My dad had abandoned us when I was the age of four. She worked as a short order waitress on a breakfast shift in downtown Redmond, Oregon. But she always encouraged me. She always took me to band concerts and things like that, got me my library card. And I'm going to say in my remarks at the dedication that those acts of human kindness can be keys to help unlock a future or unlock one's potential, and she certainly did. So I had humble beginnings, but with her help, and the help of a couple of teachers in high school, I became the first male in my extended family to get a high school education, much less graduate from college.
So you grew up with humble beginnings. What do you remember most that shaped your worldview?
You know, I remember so much I could say here, but one class in particular that I had a lasting impression on me. And I should say that my experience at Pacific University was such that I not only had a feast of intellectual exposure to things I hadn't really ever known about, but my experience gave me the tools to keep on learning through the rest of my life. And I think that's what a higher education does today. And the retreat in Oregon away from higher education in terms of financial support is really something we need to turn around quickly. But one of the best classes I recall was an upper division class in logic. We learned about synthesis and, you know, back and forth and reaching a synthesis, and we learned about logical fallacies and how to spot them. And I've told my friends that knowledge of logic really helped me a lot when I got into the Congress, the House of Representatives, where on the floor it can often be a logic-free zone. So that was that along with other things were major influences on me.
I'm talking with Lessa Coyne, former congressman and author of Catch and Release, An Oregon Life in Politics. At age 81, Acoin is an active author and lecturer. After leaving office, he was a visiting professor of political science and business ethics at Southern Oregon University, where he joined the Board of Trustees in 2014. Congressman Acoin will soon be honored for his career in public service by his alma mater, Pacific University. The Les Acoin Hall will be dedicated on Friday, September 27th, on the Pacific University campus in Forest Grove. So, Congressman, you talk about respect. You talk about debate and logic. Take me back to the start. You got started in politics in the late 1960s, which it was quite a vicious and violent time in American history. What attracted you to politics?
Well, in the Army, I was a private in the 60s, and Kennedy was president. And my very earliest connection to politics was when he inspired me with his decision to send in the National Guard in the South to register students in segregated colleges. and to desegregate them that way. I was really inspired by that. That was the very beginning. But later, in 1968, with the Vietnam War raging, and having learned a lot about how what the real nature of that uprising was, I was very opposed to our policy in Vietnam. An incredible waste of life in an immoral war. And I worked for the Gene McCarthy campaign, who won the Oregon primary. And that really got me started. After that, of course, the outcome in that election year in 68 produced Richard Nixon, which was our own problem, further problem. But shortly after that, in 1970, I ran for the State House of Representatives and was the first Democrat elected in Washington County in some 36 years. And that was sort of really the beginning.
Well, I opened this segment with a teaser about your extraordinary experiences, Kremlin meetings, rescuing a Jewish family, visiting a nuclear bunker, and, of course, wrestling a professional woman wrestler. You've had quite a career. Is there one experience that stands out for you?
Oh, gosh. You know, I guess, by the way, I didn't wrestle a woman wrestler, but I was supposed to be the referee, and I made a refereeing call that she did not like, and she chased me out of the damn ring. I had to run for the locker room, for heaven's sake. So that was a memorable experience. But the one I really remember most was when I visited Cheyenne Mountain, the Strategic Air Command and Center, looking at it would be the epicenter of managing a thermonuclear war, and we were getting this briefing. And saw the map on the wall and a mock-up of missiles leaving the map where the Soviet Union was heading towards the United States. And they sort of gamed out this Armageddon scheme for me. And I was pointed to the red phone that would be the connection to the Oval Office. And so it was kind of a depressing briefing. I was a member of the Defense Appropriations Committee. That's why I was there. Very good briefing, but these knowledgeable officers were telling me how this is all going to work, and they're pretty darn proud of it. As we were walking out, that red phone rang, and the major who was leading us to this tour paused and grabbed the phone and hung up, and his face flushed, and he turned, and you know, obviously we needed an explanation. Yeah. Turned and hung up, and he said, "Wrong number."
What?
That reminded me of just how mistakes can take place at a time when it could be peril for the human race.
Oh my!
Can you imagine
word.
That? Yeah.
Well, we're running close to time, but I do have to find out, what are you most proud of in your career?
I think the arms control amendment I got signed into law over Reagan's signature that banned flight testing for anti-satellite warfare, as long as the Soviet Union went along with it. So on a bipartisan basis, bicameral basis, international basis, it went a long ways to removing weapons in space. Since then, it has expired, unfortunately, and no one has renewed it. That's one. The other one was the restoration of tribal status and recognition of a number of Native American tribes in Oregon and elsewhere, which overcame a long trail of broken hearts. And and many generations forward are going to be benefiting from the economic benefits of that re-recognition of their tribal status.
Well, congratulations on a storied career.
Well, thank you, Mike. It's been fun, and I used to be at JPR as a volunteer announcer. Once was on your side of the microphone as a substitute. So always good to talk to JPR, and I want everybody to say hi to all your listeners.
Well, we look forward to having you back again. I've been talking with former Congressman Les Acoin about his phenomenal career, the dedication of a building in his honor at Pacific University, and his book, Catch and Release, An Oregon Life in Politics. Congratulations again, Congressman, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, Mike.
I'm Mike Green.